25 nations, 15 years, and hundreds of millions of lives transformed. This is the poverty story the world's been waiting for. Good morning. Welcome to Brightside Daily. I'm Rory, alongside Elizabeth.
And today we've got four stories that prove the world is making far more progress than the headlines suggest.
We're leading with a United Nations milestone that could reshape how we think about global poverty.
Plus, Swiss scientists have figured out how to turn our biggest pollutant into something genuinely useful.
Let's get into it. 25 nations. That's how many countries have cut their multidimensional poverty in half in just 15 years. And that number comes directly from the UN Development Programme. No, this isn't the old way of measuring poverty, where you draw a line at a dollar a day and call it done. The Multidimensional Poverty Index tracks 10 indicators across education, health, and living standards. Clean water, sanitation, electricity, access to schooling. It measures whether people's lives are actually getting better in the ways that matter. And across 25 nations, spanning South Asia, Sub-Saharan Africa, and Latin America, they are. India stands out in particular. The country has lifted an estimated 400 million people out of multidimensional poverty since 2005. That's more than the entire population of the United States. Targeted programs in education, healthcare, and infrastructure made it happen. Now, the challenges aren't gone. Climate change threatens to undo progress in agricultural regions. Economic shocks, as we saw during the pandemic, can set things back quickly. And national averages can hide deep inequality within countries. But here's what this data tells us. When governments commit to evidence-based strategies and sustain them over time, poverty isn't inevitable, it's solvable.
400 million people. I keep coming back to that number. That's not a policy abstract. That's children who now have clean water, families with electricity for the first time.
And what strikes me is the approach. They didn't just throw money at one problem. They tackled education, health, and infrastructure together. The whole person, not just the paycheck.
Which makes sense. If a child has clean water but no school, you've only solved half the problem. What if the carbon dioxide warming our planet could be turned into something valuable? That's not a thought experiment anymore. Researchers at ETH Zurich have just made it real. Their team has developed a single-atom catalyst that converts CO2 into methanol with unprecedented efficiency. And when I say single atom, I mean it literally. Individual indium atoms act as active sites, each one doing the work that used to require entire metal clusters. Now, methanol might not sound exciting, but it's a universal building block. Fuels, plastics, pharmaceuticals. It's one of the most important raw materials in modern manufacturing. And right now, we make it from fossil fuels. This technology flips that equation. Instead of pulling carbon out of the ground to make methanol, you pull it out of the air. And when the process runs on renewable energy, it becomes climate neutral. The work has been published in Nature Communications, but it's still laboratory scale. Commercial viability means proving it works at industrial volumes, competing with fossil fuel processes that have decades of optimization behind them, and securing enough indium for global deployment.
I have to ask, though, if this scales, are we looking at a world where CO2 is actually worth money? Where there's a financial incentive to pull it from the atmosphere?
That's exactly the shift. Right now, carbon capture is a cost. This could make it a revenue stream. And that changes everything about who invests in it and how fast it moves.
Imagine being told you have a disease with no cure, that the best medicine can do is manage your symptoms, and even that will get harder over time. That's the reality for 10 million people living with Parkinson's disease. But there's new data that changes the conversation. Patients in Aspen Neurosciences ASBIRO clinical trial are showing sustained improvements 12 months after receiving personalized stem cell therapy. Here's how it works. Doctors take skin cells from the patient's own body and reprogram them. They guide those cells to develop into healthy dopamine-producing neurons. Then they transplant them into the brain regions that Parkinson's has damaged. Because the cells come from the patient, there's no rejection, no lifelong immune suppression drugs, no permanent hardware implants. 12 months on, patients showed better movement, improved quality of life, and some were even reducing their traditional medications. That suggests the transplanted cells aren't just surviving, they're integrating. They're functioning as part of the brain's own neural network. It's early. The trial is small. We'll need years of data to know if this truly changes the disease's course. But for a condition where the standard approach has always been symptom management, this is a fundamentally different direction.
And it sidesteps the two biggest problems that sank earlier stem cell approaches, immune rejection, and the ethical debate around embryonic cells. Using the patient's own tissue solves both.
You've been reading ahead.
It's a good story, Rory. And here's the detail that gets me. They reprogram the cells back to a pre-disease state. You're essentially giving the patient a version of themselves from before things went wrong. 18 trillion dollars. That's the size of the global accessibility market, according to a new analysis from AudioEye. And before you think that sounds inflated, consider what it includes. 1.3 billion people worldwide live with disabilities. The 18 trillion figure captures not just their purchasing power, but the entire economic ecosystem that opens up when products and services are built to be truly inclusive. Assistive technologies, accessible digital platforms, universal design and physical spaces. It's everything from screen readers and voice interfaces to buildings that work for everyone who uses them. And here's the part that's easy to miss. Inclusive design doesn't just help disabled users. It helps everyone. Curb cuts were designed for wheelchairs. Parents with pushchairs use them every day. Voice interfaces were built for blind users. Now, hundreds of millions of people talk to smart speakers in their kitchens.
So we're saying that designing for the edges actually produces better products for the center.
Every single time. And that's why this reframing matters. For decades, businesses have treated accessibility as a compliance checkbox, something you do because the law says you must. This report says, no, it's an $18 trillion market you're leaving on the table. Now, that figure is a theoretical maximum. Not every business can serve this market profitably overnight, and market-driven approaches alone won't reach lower-income disabled communities who may need support most. But when you shift from, we have to do this, to we want to do this because it's smart business, you attract entrepreneurs, you attract venture capital, and the innovation follows. As Dr. Greg Vanderheiden, a pioneer in technology accessibility, has argued for decades, design for disability drives design for all.
Time for a rapid fire round. Here are this week's numbers that matter.
10 million volunteers. That's how many sighted people have signed up with Be My Eyes to help 1 million blind users navigate daily tasks through their phones. The platform just launched a foundation to keep the service free forever.
346 gigawatt hours. India's projected energy storage capacity by 2033, up from less than 1 gigawatt hour today. 92 gigawatt hours are already in the development pipeline.
Meta's Ray-Ban smart glasses now connect directly to Be My Eyes, giving blind users hands-free visual assistance. No phone required. Just ask your glasses for help, and a volunteer appears.
Mississippi, not a number, but a name worth knowing. The state just hit record high graduation rates and historic low dropout numbers, proving that sustained investment in evidence-based education works, even in the most challenging environments.
All 54 African nations. That's how many countries will get zero tariff access to China's consumer market under a new trade expansion, up from 33 previously. African producers will compete on equal footing in the world's second largest economy.
And finally, 500 California condors, up from just 27 in the 1980s. New research in Nature Communications confirms that conservation efforts, including lead ammunition bans, are working even better than surface data suggested. That's your Bright Side Daily for Sunday,
If any of these stories made you feel a bit more hopeful about the world, share this episode with someone who could use some good news today.
And if you want the full stories with all the links and sources, head to thebrightside.news. Everything we cover is there in detail.
25 nations proving poverty is solvable. Scientists turning pollution into profit. A patient's own cells fighting back against disease. It's not a bad Sunday.
Not bad at all. Until next time, stay curious and stay hopeful.
The world's making progress. Let's make sure people hear about it.